Blessed Christmas to all of you. So great to see this hall full within the SOP that we have. And those online, I know there's easily about 1,000 screen views, so I suspect must be anywhere between 1,500 to 2,000 people right online right now. So blessed Christmas to you, and I hope you experience Christmas even while you're at home. And for those of us here, you know, as we come, isn't it great to be able to worship together? It's an amazing experience, all right? Let's give the Lord a clap. Can we do that? Amen. You know, I want to commend the church for really stepping up, you know, during this time of flood. And many of you have stepped up and really helped, not only in giving, but also going to the places where there are floods and helping those in need. And I think the greater needs even ahead of us, even in the next couple of days and couple of weeks. And so as a church, let's continue to step up and to go where the Lord directs us. And also, if you recognize earlier on when Juwita talked about Sabah, you know, one of the things that as a church we want to be committed to is the Orang Asal in this land. And one of the things we are doing is that we want to, you know, especially for the younger generation of the Orang Asal, we want to do our little part in even encouraging them to rise up. And one of the ways to really rise up or step up is through education. And one of the initiatives that we are doing right now during this Christmas season is an initiative, you know, of education, a child education program, which we have started, and I hope it will really grow in the coming years. And we are starting with the poorest of the poor area in Sabah called Pitas. And so we have already adopted about 20 children, students, and say we are committed to you all the way to college and university, because that's the way to get out of this cycle of poverty. And so this is the initiative called Spark Joy, and I really pray that over time we'll really grow this ministry and be able to bless so many around the country. All right, so that's the Christmas spirit. We want to be people who are giving people and generous people. Now, so this pandemic here reminds us that the unexpected can happen, right? Many of us would not imagine being sitting in this hall here, you know, in some with a physical distancing, all right, and not we can't pack as many people as we want to. But yet, you know, the church continued to move on. And so the unexpected had happened. And so I titled this sermon as the Unexpected Christmas Story. So 2,000 years ago, there was also an unexpected story, just as we are experiencing today. Now, how many of us, when we entered the year 2020, entered the year, you know, with all our expectation, and the unexpected happened? And this worldwide pandemic is what I call unexpected. It's unprecedented. And also, we are totally unprepared in that sense, all right? But, you know, as a church, we jump right in. We jump right in and become a blessing, all right, to even many, to thousands of people in this area as well. So this is an unexpected season. And tell you what, this will become an unexpected story you will tell one day to your children and to your children's children. You know, you've been through this season, and not only do you just survive it, you thrive. You know, as a church, we thrive in this season of the unexpected. Now, do you know that there are also many unexpected stories in the Bible leading up to this, to Christmas 2,000 years ago when Jesus was born? Now, we're going to talk about this from the passage of Scripture from Matthew chapter 1, verses 1 to 25. Right? So this is a rather long 25 verses of Scripture, which most people would sort of jump over verses 1 to 17. Now, why would you jump over verses 1 to 17? Because it's a whole list of names, right? And some of you, when you read it, you will realize that I don't recognize some of these names, because these names are the names of genealogy of Jesus, and that may seem meaningless to you, these names. Maybe we'll skip right that past verse 17 and goes to verse 18 to 25, because that's where the Christmas story is. So, tell you what, let's not jump over these names. Let's not jump over it. But rather, let's ask ourselves, what has God to say to us about this unexpected story in all these names? Because every one of these names here have a purpose of God, have the promise of God, and also his plans. And I believe that God has a word for everyone here in this auditorium and also those at home even right now. Why don't we pray and ask the Holy Spirit to come and illumine our minds even right now, right? Just raise your hands to the Lord because this is a good posture of receiving from God. Holy Spirit, we come right now to ask that you will, Lord, speak to us. Most of all, through the word of God. Lord, even as we preach it, Lord, even as I preach it, Lord, will you, God, speak into our hearts and most of all, help us understand what Christmas is really all about. And we pray all this, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. So here's the big idea. The big idea is your unexpected story matters to God. Now, I don't know how many of you have an unexpected story here. As you think back about your life, whether you're 20 years old, 30 years old, 50 years old, 60 or even 70 or 80, there were probably many unexpected stories in your life. But tell you what, your unexpected story matters to God. And that's something that, you know, as we think back, we don't have to live in regret, even over those unexpected stories. You didn't expect it, but it happened. So let's jump right into that. Now, how many of us here love movies? Just raise your hands. You love to watch a movie, right? Now, I'm sure some of you already jumped back to the cinema to watch all the movies that you want to see. Now, after so many months of watching movies on the TV screen, I'm sure you would love to go to the cinema with a big screen and a big sound, right? And we long for that. Now, let me ask you another question here. How many of you will actually stay back to watch the rolling credit? Right? You would? Or only see two hands, three hands, or three hands, four hands, okay? Now, most of us will sort of, now, even if you read the rolling credit, you will probably not read every name, right? Now, so I didn't realize the importance of the rolling credit until, right, one of my cell member came up to me and I said, in this movie here, if you were to wait and watch and read the rolling credit, my name is on it. Now, this is the only time that I would say that I would carefully, okay, wait for the rolling credit to try to spot somebody that I know. Now, the credit roll reminds us of this, that there are many people involved in putting the movie together. Now, each name represents a person, and that one person plays an important part to contribute to the entire movie, whether a small part or a big part. Now, verses 1 to 17 is a list of credit roll. It's a list of names for the Christmas story up to that point when Jesus was born. Now, remember, it's not just a list of names. Every name on that credit roll from verses 1 to 17 has a story, had lives, and had families. And God pulled all these names together. God pulled all these people together and gave them a purpose, even a purpose that some of them are not even aware of. And so that the Christmas story in verses 18 onwards is actually a collection of all these stories to make up that one big story of the Christmas story. And so here's the entire list, starting with verse 1. Now, this is what it says there. And Matthew gave us what I call the executive summary. I'm so glad he did that, right? Rather than, you know, in that sense, going to name my name. He gave an executive summary, and this is what he said. This is a genealogy of Jesus, the Messiah, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Jesus is the son of David, and David the son of Abraham. Right? Then in between is a list of people that leads all the way to verse 16. Then he ended by saying this. Thus, there were 14 generations in all from Abraham to David, 14 from David to the exile to Babylon, and 14 from the exile to the Messiah. Now, if I were to look at that list of names from verses 1 to 17, right, it's probably be like a rolling credit. Right? So I actually asked the team to put together a rolling credit even right now, you know, to help you see what it would be like in that movie called Christmas Story. So the names will be scrolling up from verses 1 to 17, right? Jacob, you will read, you identify that. Salmon, Abijah, Jehoshaphat, Manasseh, Zerubbabel, that sounds familiar. Zadok, I don't know that name.
Elihud, and many, many other names. So that is the rolling credit. And we are tempted to skip some of these individual names. Some are known to us, but each name plays a very important part in this narrative. So like I say, it is, you know, very tempting for us to skip these names. But if you were to go to each and every one of these names, God has a purpose for each and every one of them. And this is the message that God wants to tell each and every one of us here. You have a name. Your name is part of that rolling credit. You have a purpose. Now, one more thing about this rolling credit is this. There is a writer of this movie, and there is a director. So the writer has a story from the beginning to the end and what happened in between, right? So that's the writer. But there's also a director. The director has a story in his mind. His task is to make the whole story come alive on the big screen with the big sound. And he must be very purposeful in ensuring that this whole movie with the story makes sense. And the story must be told faithfully according to what the writer has written and make it visually attractive, right? And so there is a writer, there is a director. So as we look at these names, you saw the credit roll just now. These are real people with real story. And I tell you what, many of them didn't ask to be part of this movie. They didn't ask for it. But somehow the director and the writer put them in there. And we must understand that even our lives, nothing happened by chance. God has somehow used us and put us into a story far bigger than ourselves. Now, interestingly, in this credit roll, some of you who are good Bible students here, you will recognize this. Not all of them are good people. All right? Some are good, but some are actually evil people. And some were famous and some were not. But each name, like I say, has an unexpected story. So what's in for you here? What's in for you? Every one of you in this room here has an unexpected story. So the first thing is this, that we must recognize, that there is a God purpose in every unexpected story. Let me repeat that. There is a God purpose in every unexpected story. Now, Matthew was writing to a Jewish audience. And basically, he wanted to show that Jesus is part of the royal line of King David and Abraham as well, the patriarch of the Jews. Now, interestingly, both Joseph and Mary are actually descendants of King David. So here is what Matthew is trying to say in that 1,800 years of the narrative of the Jewish history is precisely the way God planned it to be. Not by chance, but precisely. And God had planned it that way for 42 generations, starting from Abraham and all the way to Jesus. God unfolds the plan and his promises first to Abraham. And today, all of us just seated here and those watching online, we are part of that Abrahamic story and that Abrahamic covenant. It's an amazing thing that we are all here connected to that genealogy. Now, in life, we know that there are the good, the bad, and the ugly, right? How many of you have experienced the good, the bad, and the ugly in your life? Have you? I have. There are many times things are good. Of course, there are good things. But sometimes there are bad things. And sometimes they're really ugly things. None of us are spared from that. Even right now, as you think about your life, many things flashes in your mind as well. The good, the bad, and the ugly. Now, this is the principle, right? Not everything in life will go as we plan, right? Not everything in life will go as we plan. The pandemic is a good example. It is unexpected. So, in other words, if we look at all these Bible characters from verses 1 to 17, let me tell you this, that their story is actually a disaster for some of them. Really a disaster. But yet God put them in the credit roll. That's the amazing part. So let me just quickly mention a few here. For example, now you can read this for yourself, all right? It's in the notes that I've given to you. Now, Abraham in Genesis chapter 12 to Genesis chapter 12 and chapter 20. You can read about Abraham. Now, interestingly, we discovered that Abraham is actually a very self-centered fella, right? He lied about his wife and called her sister. And then it could have gotten, you know, Sarah into big trouble. So in that sense, you know, he's a man who was quite self-centered at the very beginning. And later on, as well, you really read his story. But tell you what, God kept his promise to him, in spite of all that. And then in 2 Samuel 11, the chapter that we wish that has never been put in the Bible, the story of King David, the great man of God, the man after God's heart, yet he committed adultery with Bathsheba and repented, thankfully. But there are terrible consequences in his life of family deaths and crises. But God was faithful. And then we read about five women. This is very interesting. There are five women listed from verses 1 to 17 in this genealogy. And I don't have time to elaborate, like I said, in each of these names. Each of these names would be a good sermon. And you can read for yourself, again, with the references I've given to you. For example, in Genesis chapter 38, Tamar. Now, you may not have heard that name. But Tamar is a very angry young widow. And then she put herself and her father-in-law. Now, you need to read that story. It's a very interesting story, how she put herself and her father-in-law to shame, to reclaim what her rights. And God restored her to, right? And then we read about Rahab in Joshua chapter 2. Rahab is actually a Canaanite prostitute in Jericho who told a lie to save two, you know, Jewish spies at the risk of her own life. Now, a prostitute in Jericho, her name is mentioned in the book of Hebrews and the book of James. And then we read about Ruth. Ruth is a Moabite who married into a Jewish family and became a widow. There's another very interesting story, many sermons by itself on that book. And she followed her mother-in-law back to Israel. Naomi followed her back. And considering the fact that Moabites were actually enemies of the Jews, she ended up to be called a virtuous woman who became, now listen to this, she became the great-grandmother of King David, all right, an enemy of the Jews. And 2 Samuel 11, the chapter that we wish we would never put in there, another interesting name was mentioned there. Not the actual name, but Uriah's wife. Just that phrase, Uriah's wife. Name not mentioned, but we all know she's Bathsheba, who committed adultery with King David. She became the mother of King Solomon. And then finally, the fifth woman is Mary, the mother of Jesus. So here you have, ladies. In genealogy, normally, women are not mentioned. And here's an important fact for all of us here. Ladies, you are so important to God. God, make sure that ladies, women are mentioned, right, in this genealogy. I remember many years ago when I went back with my father to the ancestral village which my grandfather came from, and I saw that the ancestral book, the genealogy, and I discovered that I was the 29th generation of the Kam family. That's a long time, 29th generation. And I put the names of my three boys into that book. They become the 30th generation. And guess what? There are no name of ladies in it. No names of ladies at all. Right? But here in the genealogy of the Bible, women are mentioned. Ladies, I need you to feel very special, right, this Christmas. That God mentioned ladies in this genealogy. So we see from this genealogy that Jesus is very ethnically diverse. People from women of different races and tribes, people who are foreigners, people who are refugees, and even some who were enemies. From the common people to those who are from the royalty, from the poor to the rich, from the respected to the outcast. All kinds of people make up that genealogy of people that God used. So, this is an amazing note for us to be reminded of. No wonder Apostle Paul himself says this in Galatians chapter 3, verse 7. Understand then that those who have faith are children of Abraham. You know what this means, this verse means? All of you here belongs to this genealogy that came all the way to Abraham. We are living in that blessings right now. That is why, you know, Scripture says that in many sense, we are the people of God. We are Jews by heart in that sense, because we belong to the line of Abraham. And that is why we can sing that song, you know, Father Abraham. All right? And so this is amazing genealogy. So many of these people here have very messy life, including you and I. We all have very messy lives. So what must we do, therefore, with our unexpected story? So very simply, number one, is to offer your messy story to God. Can you do that? Offer your messy story. Even right, those watching online, if you're a guest here, you know, this morning, I want to welcome you. You know, you may have never heard of this, that I want to forget about my messy life. But yet, very clearly here, I'm telling you, offer your messy life to God. Why? Because God can use that. Because our life is like a jigsaw puzzle. We are this jigsaw puzzle that one piece, we cannot see the big picture. We cannot see the completed, beautiful picture of that jigsaw finally. Because we cannot see it, but we will finally see that big picture, right? So here are messy stories of messy people. And I love it that the Bible is very frank in telling stories as it is. The Bible does not cover up. Just like in many countries, they will cover up the history of their country by making up different story. But here in the Bible, I'm so glad that the Bible will tell each person's story as they are. So God can use messiness in this genealogy. God can use your messiness. So offer your messy story to God. The second thing is offer your excuses, shame, and regrets and fear to God. In other words, you don't have to be good enough to come to God. In other words, you can come to God just as you are with all the messiness in your life, not any better or not any worse. Just come as you are. And I believe this is what God is calling you today. Just come as you are. Some of you may think that you need to be good enough for God. Let me tell you this. We will never be good enough for God. We come as we are. We offer our excuses, our shame, our regrets, and fears to God. You know what? Each of these Bible characters we read in the rolling credit, they could have given up on their life. After King David has sinned against God, he could have given up and said, that's it, right? No more. But yet, God still used him to be the forefather of the Messiah in that sense. Ruth could have given up, all right? The prostitute, all right, would have given up as well. But they submitted to God and ended up in this genealogy. That's an amazing part for all of us here with messy stories. So I want to ask you today here, every one of you here in this auditorium and those watching online, what's your excuse? What's your shame? What's your regret? And what's your fear? Now, why don't you name that right now in your mind? Because I know you just told me just now you have the good, the bad, and the ugly. So what are these things here? Very quickly, just identify that in your mind right now, because I believe God will speak to you this morning. You know, one of the things that I encourage in this church is this. As part of our five core habits, be real. Be real. Don't hide behind a mask. Be real with ourselves. Be real with one another. And if you remember, those are from DUMC, I preach a sermon called, It's Okay Not to Be Okay. It's all right not to be okay. But it's not okay to remain that way. And so we can offer our excuse, our shame, our regrets, and our fear to God. And then thirdly, offer your life for His purpose. Because as we look at this genealogy, every one of them may have messy stories. But yet when they offer it to God, God can use it for His purpose. And in this case here, it was the purpose of the lineage of the Messiah. So no matter what our life situations are, whether we are fear, there are shame, there are regrets, tell you what, if you are a Christian, God has given you the Holy Spirit to help you navigate through life. You don't have to do this alone. When we become a Christian, we invite the Spirit of God into our life. And that is why the Holy Spirit is called the Helper. Even in the messiness of our life, the Holy Spirit, God, is there to help us navigate through life and use our life for His purpose. Isn't that the good news? This is the good news of Christmas, that God has come to us to give us not second chance, third chance, fourth chance, many chances, As long as we live on this earth, we are given a chance. And so don't allow your circumstance to rule your life. In fact, I say to you, don't live under your circumstance. Live above it. Don't live under it. You know what? God can grow us. God can grow you through your struggles. And then with that, God will use you to help others going through the same thing as well. That's the amazing part of being a child of God. So first, there is a God purpose in every unexpected story. The second thing is this, there is a God promise in every unexpected story. Now, this is where we jump in now to just read very quickly the Christmas story, verses 18 to 25. All right. So where you are right now, all right, why don't you read it aloud together with me? Just to just reacquaint ourselves with this Christmas story. Now, from verse 18. This is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph's husband was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." And this took place to fulfill what the Lord has said through the prophet, "The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. Now, we are very familiar with that story. Now, Mary, remember, is the fifth woman, you know, in this genealogy. And she was engaged to be married to Joseph. Now, marriage in those times of Jesus, well, different, all right? Because when they will first of all be engaged, be betrothed to one another. And when they're betrothed, they are considered being married. In fact, if you want to separate during the time of betrothal or engagement, you have to go through a divorce. So in that sense, that 1 year period when they were engaged before they were, in that sense, where the wife would now then go to live with the husband after 1 year. But during the period where they were, where the wife is still, you know, in the her home, they are considered being married. And so it would require a divorce. So in that, now try to put yourself in the position of Joseph. They are actually married, although engaged. They were not living together, and Mary was pregnant. Now imagine the anguish that Joseph had gone through. In fact, he must have loved Mary a lot. And he decided that he wanted to quietly divorce Mary, to not make a hue and cry about the whole thing, because the punishment upon Mary would have been terrible. And that is why Joseph was a good and upright man in that sense. He loved Mary enough. But imagine Mary now. Mary is a teenager of only about 15 years old, mind you. 15 years old to discover that she is pregnant. The unthinkable happened. The unexpected happened, where a young couple who wanted to be married and be happily ever after. And this unexpected story happened. And so I'm so glad that Joseph woke up from the dream that the angels, you know, appeared to him and say, "Go, marry, you know, take Mary as your wife and live with her." All right. And he obeyed, and we know the rest is history. So thank God for that. Never in the life of Joseph would he have expected this. All right. He would not have expected things to go wrong, but tell you what, Joseph invited God into that unexpected story because God promised him. He promised him. Now, how do we, therefore, you know, experience God's promise? Now, today you can do the same as well. How can you experience God's promise in your life? Now, these are three quick things you can do. And I want to challenge you, those who may not even, you know, be thinking about it, you're not a Christian. Now, think about your messy story. Even for Christians, I realize for some Christians, you also have your messy stories. You continue to live in that even after you become a Christian. And some of you, right now, you're not here by chance. God has put you on this platform here, online, and those of you in this auditorium, God is challenging you to come back to Him because you have drifted apart. So here are three things that quickly you can do. First, invite God into your plan. Simple enough, just invite Him. Joseph has his own plan. Tell you what, God has an even bigger plan for him. So, invite God into your plan. So, Joseph was willing to hear God, obey God, although he could not understand. Tell you what, he is confused. But he was willing to take God at his word, and the right thing to do at that time was to divorce Mary quietly. But he invited God into his plan, and he did otherwise. So, too often, tell you, what we do is that we make our own plans. We go to God and say, God, please bless this plan. We have a tendency to do that. And I think we need to recognize that we need to hear God's plan for our lives. Because when we hear God's plan, it is a better plan than our own plan. So invite God into your plan, no matter how messy your stories are. Even right now, some of you may be going through right now a difficult time of your life. The most important thing for you right now is to invite Him into your plan. The second thing is release your worries to God. Release it. All right? See, God was so gracious to Joseph, allowing an angel to appear before him, not to frighten him, by the way. I know angels, when they appear before humans, they always say, do not fear. Why? Because it is a fearful thing to be encountering an angel. But here, God has released an angel to Joseph to give him assurance. It's okay, Joseph, in spite of all that you're going through. Trust Him. Trust God. And so the angel comes before Joseph and says, release your worries to Him. So not only are you inviting God into the plan, Joseph, release your worries to God. Now, Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 to 6 is a very familiar passage or verses to many of us. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him or submit to Him, and He will make straight your path. So release your worries to God. And then thirdly, live a life of faith and obedience. Live a life of faith and obedience. Meaning that don't take shortcuts. Don't come up with your own plans. I remember one time, you know, sometimes the simplest thing is the hardest thing. I remember one time driving, all right, with my GPS, with my navigation software, I decided to be a smart aleck. I said, I know a better shortcut. Guess what happened? All right, it took a longer time. In fact, the navigation software was so precise. It tells me the best route to take, but yet I did not, you know, in that sense, follow what the GPS has to say. And I learned my lesson from now on, follow the GPS, all right? And in some sense, all right, we need to follow God. So invite God into your plan, release your worries to God, and live a life of faith and obedience. So here we have talked about the fact that, you know, there is a God purpose, there is a God promise, and tell you what, amazingly, there is a God's plan in every unexpected story, even your most messy story. And everyone is different. And everyone has a custom fit plan by God. God has planned our life in such a way that because of our uniqueness, because of our unique personality, because of our unique gifting, God said, this is what you need to do. And He put our name in that credit roll. That one day when we see that credit roll, we'll be amazed how the story turned out. Remember the movie, Lord of the Rings? I love movies, so I love to learn lessons from them. So in the story of Lord of the Rings, you remember the journey, the adventure journey of Frodo and Sam? You remember that story? Now, standing at the shadow of Mordor, and this is what Sam said. And I love what he said. Folks seem to have just landed in them. Usually, their paths were laid that way. As you will put it, I wonder what sort of tale we have fallen into. See, Sam and Frodo have no idea. But somehow they were led to that story, and this is what Frodo said. I wonder, but I don't know. And that's the way of a real tale. The people in it don't know. Now, you may not know, but there's a trust in this God that He knows. There is a bigger plan. And that's what we need to ask ourselves, even right now. What sort of unexpected story have we stumbled into? And every life here is precious to God. Whatever that's happened to you is not there by chance. God has somehow allowed it. And especially during this time of pandemic, there are many questions in our mind. But yet, we need to learn to invite God into our plan. I want to end with this story here. One of my CG members, Auntie, recently passed away at the age of 77. Now, after battling with cancer for 12 years, imagine, 12 years battling with cancer. And this is a picture of this late Auntie Ng Wan T, right? This is the auntie, 77 years old, battling 12 years of cancer. Now, this is what my CG member wrote. She said, my aunt saw her 12-year cancer journey as one that her Lord and Maker gave her so that she can truly reflect His glory. Now, I know that because in the last week on earth, I felt led to ask for her journal. She had in the past shared with me that she's kept 3 journals during her cancer journey. And on the 24th of September, 3 days, I mean this year, at the 24th of September, 3 days before she passed on, I obtained one of her journals after asking her for permission. And as I read through her journal, it was clear that she knew her purpose of this cancer journey. Now, that boggles our mind. Is there a purpose even in cancer? So here are some excerpts from her journal. Let me just read a few for you. These are written about her hospital visits. So here, dated 10th October 2019. The headline is, A Pregnant Malay Mother. At the treatment room, I encourage a 30-year-old Malay who has breast cancer after conceiving her 3rd child. I share my story, and we encourage each other. On the same date, a Chinese man from another church, he was very anxious and in pain, great discomfort, prayed with him, and to my surprise, he reclined on his chair and dozed off. Praise God, for I was able to pray for him. I'm also thankful that I'm in a situation that is so much more blessed and comforted. 6 November 2019. Fellow patient Irene, a Catholic. Waiting to see my doctor, Auntie Ng wrote, I met another fellow patient, who is Irene, and got to know each other. She came out of the doctor's room very depressed and sad because of a terminal status that the oncologist told her. Hospice is recommended for Irene. I heard her fears. Auntie Ng spent time to hear her out. I heard her fears. Encourage her that all is not lost, as God is still in charge. I was touched when she wanted to give me a hug, which I responded willingly. I said, be still and know that I'm God. 4th December 2019. Husband and wife, she met. Husband has prostate cancer. Shared with them, they are free thinker. Shared with the husband and wife, the similarities and differences between Buddhism and Christianity, encourage him with my journey and mention Alpha Course and the reason for Christmas. What a powerful way of evangelism. A cancer patient to another cancer patient. And then one of the final stories, there are many, many stories, by the way, but just pulling this one out, 4th June 2021, just a few months before she passed on, she wrote Mark chapter 4, verses 35 to 41. Very familiar one, because I preach on this particular passage. Jesus comes as home. Both passages from 1 Peter as well, chapter 1, both speak on how to face challenges, especially the present pandemic. Jesus in the midst of the storm and in the boat with us, the living hope of Christ, temporary situation. Keep on to faith in Jesus. We should still praise God and glorify Him through our faith in Him. Amen. This is just a few months before she passed on. There are many more journal entries. And she passed on to glory on the 27th September 2021. You know what? One day I would love to meet up with her on the new earth and ask God, because of her cancer journey, how many people has she encouraged? And how many people have come to the new heaven and the new earth because she took her cancer journey, turned it around. Cancer is messy, but she turned it around, allowed God, offered it to God, offered her worries to God, and said, God, you take over. And I really believe that if we would read through the entire three journals, there'll be an amazing number of people that would have been touched by her. So remember the credit roll? You know, those of us who are movie fans would realize that for some movies, especially the Marvel movies, right at the end is a trailer, right? To tell you what's going to go on in the next movie. You know what? The trailer has already been played for us. Our trailer is a trailer of the end times. The trailer that one day Jesus will come again and we will live on the new earth with him forever. So what's your unexpected story? Will you offer it to God? Now, my grandfather came from Hainan Island. That's his unexpected story. For economic reason, he has to come out from his home and come to Malaya. Little did he know that one day his grandson will come to know Jesus. And standing here right now, preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Would he have known that? It was messy. I cannot imagine the journey he made. Not plane during those times. It's through boats and ship. And he ended up here in Malaya. Unexpected story. But today, his grandson is right here serving God. These are unexpected stories. So what's your unexpected story? Will it offer it to God? Shall we all bow our heads right now? Remember, I asked you earlier on to ask yourself, what is your unexpected story? What are the messy story of your life, even right now, that you're going through? Will you offer that to God? Will you invite this God into your life right now? You may not be a Christian, but tell you what, if you invite this Jesus into your plan, he will turn your messy story, not that you'll get out of your messiness, but he will turn your messy story into a story that is purposeful. If you're backslided away from God, you're not here by chance. Those who are Christians before as well. Why don't you invite Jesus into your plan right now? Just for a short moment, will you consider that? Now, how do you do that? Simply by inviting him. By just saying to him, sorry, thank you, and please. Just say sorry to him that you have tried running your own life. It's getting very messy. Sorry, Jesus, that I ran my own life. And then you say, thank you, Jesus, that you offered me this plan. And this plan is that I will be saved through what Jesus did on the cross. So thank you. Say thank you to Jesus. This is the Christmas story. And then you say, please, please come into my life and make me a new person. Please come into my life. Now, if that's you, I want to pray a prayer with you before I close. If that's you. Right now, those watching this online as well. Now, at the count of three, this is what I want you to do. At the count of three. If that expresses the desire of your heart, right, those online right now, I want you to click on that button called Raise Hands, right, on the chat screen, okay? Just click on that button called Raise Hands to indicate to yourself and to God that you want to invite this God into your life. And those in this auditorium here as well, at the count of three, if you're a backslided Christian, you know, if you are not a believer, and you say that I want to invite God back to my plan, at the count of three, I want you to raise your hands. Can you do that? So those online, you click that raise hands, or even where you are, if you cannot access the online chat, you just raise your hands because God sees your hand. But here in this auditorium, if that's you, whether you're not a believer or whether you're backslided away from God, at the count of three, just raise your hands. I'm going to pray with you. Are you ready? One, two, you ready? At the count of three, just put up your hand. Three, can you do that right now? Yes, thank you. I see one hand here. Anybody else? Just keep your hands up because I want you to be able to identify. Thank you. I see another hand there, right at the back. Any other hands? Those upstairs in the gallery, anyone? Maybe I cannot see your hand, but tell you what, I'm going to lead in the prayer together with you. And you pray this right in your own heart, because God hears your prayer. Will you do that right now? Just bow your heads. And those online as well, you pray this prayer together with me. Dear Lord Jesus, together. Dear Lord Jesus, I'm sorry for my sins. I'm sorry for running my own life. I offer you my messy story. Thank you, Jesus, that on the cross, you make it right for me. That you paid the penalty of my sins. You died on the cross. Thank you. Today, I invite you into my life, into my messy story, so that you can turn it around and make it a purposeful story. Thank you, Jesus. Please come into my life. I want to make you my Lord and my Savior. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. So if you have said that prayer, those online, we want to get in touch with you. Right? So if you can, just click that raise hand. There's a form that comes up. And then there is also a QR code right at your screen. Can you just give us the details so that we can get back to you? And those here in this auditorium here, if you have raised your hands earlier on, will you please, you know, there will be pastors in front here. Just come up, tell us that you have raised your hands. And then we want to just have a quick conversation with you, to pray with you, and then to help you along in your Christian life. Can you do that? And those who are backslided as well, come up to us, and then we will help you in working this through. All right? Let me pray a prayer of benediction over all of us. So why don't we all stand even right now? And I want to ask for the Lord's blessing upon you, for every person, whether here in the auditorium or whether those who are online. Just raise your hands to the Lord. And I believe that God will see every hand. These are precious hands, precious hearts, that God looks at each of us with all our messiness, and He says to you that I love you. I have a plan for your life. So Lord Jesus, we thank you for Christmas. We thank you that 2,000 years ago you came. You offered your life. You died on the cross. And then you are resurrected. And that resurrection is the resurrection life we now enjoy. Thank you, God, because this is what Christmas is really all about. And so I want to bless every brother and sister here, every person here who is here with us, whether in the auditorium or online. Lord, we will bless them. Even as we come to the end of this year, Lord, we know we can only trust you for the next one, because we do not know what the future holds, but you hold the future. That's the comfort we have, the assurance we have, Lord. And so we thank you that in this Christmas, we thank you for the assurance that you are God and that you are King of this entire world. And so now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of our Heavenly Father and the fellowship of His Spirit be with us both now and forevermore. And all God's children say, Amen. Amen.